Hello again and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program that helps you learn American English. Today we have two stories for you. First, we're off to Paris to hear about a controversial new music hall that hopes to bring classical music to some people who normally could not afford the price of a ticket. Then we travel to Africa to hear about health problems and some wild animals. So if you're ready, let's listen and learn. The new Paris Philharmonic Concert Hall opened earlier this year. Long before opening day, people questioned the large amount of money required to pay for the building. Critics also were concerned about where it would be built, far from the center of the French capital. Now, the biggest problem is a social one. Can the concert hall influence a new generation of classical music lovers? Also, can it reach out to a working-class neighborhood? In the French language, the new Philharmonic Concert Hall on the edge of Paris is known as the Philharmonie de Paris. It is the home of the Paris Symphony Orchestra. Maybe, more importantly, it is a brave social experiment. President Laurent Bay says the aim is to sell classical music to young people, the poor, and a mix of ethnic and cultural groups.
Grosso modo, le modèle qu'on propose est un modèle.
The concert hall offers music that is usually linked to the city's pricey neighborhoods, where rich people live. But the Philharmonie is not located in the center of Paris. Instead, it is in an arts and science center in northeastern Paris called Parc de la Villette. Large meat processing centers operated on the grounds a century ago. Today, the park is a peaceful hideaway in an area filled with roads and working-class families. Rap and world music stars perform at La Villette. Now, the Philharmonie is bringing classical music to the park, too. President Laurent Bay says the goal is to reach a split in the Philharmonie's public between Paris and its suburbs. He says he does not expect to win over the poorest and the most difficult areas right away. The Philharmonie made news long before it officially opened. Building delays and money problems slowed work on the $417 million project. Today, critics wonder how it can succeed when other European fine arts centers are closing. But the Philharmonie is moving forward. Philippe Provençal is a spokesman. He takes visitors on tours of the building. They walk past an exhibit about pop music star David Bowie. There are also classrooms where people can learn to play any number of musical instruments. The cost of a class is only a few dollars per person. Mr. Provençal says the goal is simple. Music should be available to everyone in the best of conditions. It is not necessary to have years of training to play an instrument. On the building's top level, visitors can see a lot, not of Paris, but of the neighborhoods around it. To reach people in these areas, the concert hall keeps prices low on tickets for its performances. It also is setting up children's orchestras in ethnically mixed and poor neighborhoods. The goals of the Philharmonie may seem daunting, nearly impossible to reach, until you ask some young people what they think of it. Emeric Makwanza is from Shea, the kind of suburb that the Philharmonie is targeting. The young man says he has not yet gone into the building, but he thinks the architecture, its design, is special. He says he has heard classical music before, so why not go to a show at the Philharmonie? The heart of the Philharmonie is its concert hall. It looks like a large golden bowl with a theater in the middle. It seats 2,400 people, but the feeling is friendly. Every seat is a good one, so everyone can enjoy the shows. To date, the Philharmonie is enjoying sell-out performances. But as the newness slowly disappears, critics suggest traditional, wealthier theatergoers may think twice before traveling to this working-class neighborhood. President Laurent Bai disagrees. Other projects faced similar criticism. At the end, he says, they were successes. I'm Jim Tedder. The Ebola crisis in Sierra Leone has led to growing concern about another disease, rabies from wild dogs. Many owners fear their dogs could infect them with Ebola, so they have freed the animals. As a result, the stray dog population and number of rabies cases are increasing. Bob Doty has more.
Rabies is spreading in Sierra Leone. The country now has one of the largest stray dog populations in Africa. The situation has become worse during the Ebola crisis. Dr. Gudish Jallo is a veterinarian. In fact, he is one of the country's few trained experts on animal medicine. He also is a member of the Sierra Leone Animal Welfare Society. The group and local partners have launched a public information campaign on how to care for dogs in the time of Ebola. Dr. Jallo estimates there are about 500,000 stray dogs in Sierra Leone. That is double the number before Ebola became a health issue in West Africa. He says one reason for the increase is dog owners dying from Ebola. He says when owners die, other people do not want the dog because they fear it might infect them with the Ebola virus. Yet health officials in the United States have found that dogs can carry the virus but cannot infect people. That information comes from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Jallo has been traveling around Sierra Leone, telling people that they cannot get Ebola from dogs. He also says there is concern about rabies increasing with this overpopulation. For years, he has been giving free rabies vaccines to protect people from the disease. He also performs operations to keep the animals from reproducing. His efforts depend mainly on international financing. During the Ebola crisis, the rabies vaccine was not available in the country for several months because airline companies canceled flights to Sierra Leone. Only recently has he received a rabies vaccine.
What we really need to do now is to do humane dog population control, which will include vaccination,